The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and the great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. If we pay attention, this gospel is really a very typical human situation. Jesus was speaking about how he would take up his cross and be crucified. These dramatic things. And these young apostles weren't really listening to him. Immediately after that, those words, the mother who apparently was there, in the wider context you hear in the Gospel of Matthew, had urged them, "Go talk to Jesus." Because, you see, she wanted them to be great in the world. And she urged them, "Go talk to Jesus because you're with the right guy. And make sure that you're high up in his kingdom." It's really a story about ambition. We can all relate to that in some way with parents. "I want my children to be something great in the world. To be a great politician or banker or doctor or well-renowned." So did the mother of James and John. And when she saw that they took up with this preacher who performed great miracles, who was acclaimed by the crowds, who had lots of people started to follow after him, she said, "Wow, they chose the right side." However, this is not the Lord's plan. See, in contrast to that scene, that very human scene of ambition, the Lord puts in the words, "If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, be a servant to others and take up your cross and follow me." That's implied in the words that you will have to take the chalice that I take, the cup that I take. You see, the meaning of that cup, James and John only came to understand after the crucifixion and the resurrection. And perhaps if that mother of James and John would have said, "I don't like the idea of what they had to enter into, which was suffering, persecution, even James was martyred." That is greatness in the kingdom of the Lord. It starts with humility and taking up your cross. And that actually speaks to the seemingly strange prophecy that we hear in the first reading. Again, if we look at it with human eyes, it does seem strange, peculiar. It was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain, make of his life an offering for sin. Okay, that seems like a strange God to us, unless we see it from the perspective of Christians. That God the Father did offer his Son as a sacrifice for humanity, and Jesus willingly entered into our humanity and our sufferings to offer himself as a self-sacrifice. It is the fulfillment of the prophecy. Jesus, we know, went first, and we are called to follow. In truth, we know the two greatest in the kingdom of God, other than Jesus himself, are two simple, humble parents, Joseph and Mary. This turns the values of the kingdom away from the values of the world. In the eyes of the world, Mary was not some great figure, not a great intellectual, not known to be a great politician or world leader. She didn't draw crowds to herself in her life. Nevertheless, she is exalted in heaven because she was the humble servant, the one who was always faithful as the mother, the one who poured herself out for another like unto her Son, Jesus, and entered most deeply into the cross of our Lord. This was the good mother. And perhaps the mother of St. James and St. John learned those lessons later too. You see, as she had to behold, if she lived long enough, her own sons, who were actually exalted in this world, now we remember them as the great St. James the Apostle, St. John the Evangelist, who did go out preaching the word, and St. James was martyred. St. John faced many persecutions, exiles, calamities, and trusting in the Lord in a white martyrdom until the end of his old life. And perhaps the mother looked and understood differently then for some years, seeing that, okay, greatness in the kingdom of God is not to be exalted as a political leader or some great image in this world, but to be a follower of Christ in humility, taking up your cross and persevering in trusting and doing what you're supposed to do. Then, when we look at the other figure, Saint Joseph, it makes more sense. He too, in this world, was not any great figure. The world will look at him as a humble little father, carpenter in a poorhouse, not worthy of giving much thought to. However, in the Lord's design, the mother and the father there in that house, Joseph and Mary, were pouring themselves out for the God child. The presence of God was with them. Their outpouring, their perseverance, their daily following the Lord and daily doing their duties, what is what makes them great. This is what the Lord calls us to. See, it is a temptation, especially among the young, as James and John were always said to be young. I want to do something great. I want to be known. This is not entirely wrong. St. John Paul II proclaimed this many times in the World Youth Days. It opens up to magnanimity, greatness of soul, which is a good and holy virtue, especially practiced through grace. Many a vocation has come from this. What is also needed, though, is perseverance. The persevering grace that you take hold of. Because the further temptation comes in the Middle Ages, when you've been married for many years, when you've been a priest for many years, single and your life doesn't seem to be going anywhere. This is when we often hear, sadly, about people doing crazy things, husbands or wives walking away from each other, walking away from their marriage, priests, sadly, walking away from the priesthood. Because the feeling is, I haven't done anything great. I haven't made any great world impact. What does my life have any meaning? I would say I've not really run into this temptation in my life. And I think this is because I've always taken hold of meditation on the cross of our Lord. First, in my long trip, in my vocation, the priesthood, through many twists and trials after college, into ordination, age 37. And then after that, for the 12 years, always meditating on the cross of our Lord. So always having meaning in my life. Having difficulties and trials and joys, but always having the peace of the Lord. You see, the cross and meditation on the cross is what keeps you sane. The cross is the balance beam in our life. It keeps you balanced. This is the great secret of Christianity. If you enter into the cross with the Lord, then you can know how better to experience the resurrection with the Lord. This is the calling, then, to persevere in trust in the Lord, to do your daily duties, to follow your daily vocation, to look to the Lord every day. What does He want me to do today? To take up your daily cross and know those who are greatest in the kingdom of the Lord are those who have poured themselves out for others, for God. And He will reward these to sit at the right and His left. Not the ambitious, but the humble, and those who have taken up their cross. Let us then seek to be great in the kingdom of God and to put away the false ways of this world, but be trusting in the Lord in all things. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.